I am grateful that he takes us and he takes us through the hard times so that he can turn us into something that is way more useful for him. Right? That's why we go through those hard times. That's why a church goes through the hard times. And that's why a community may go through hard times. Because God wants to do something greater. And I'm convinced that God wants to do something greater, not only in Sunrise Community Church, but in this community where we have been placed, in Fair Oaks and Orangevale and Citrus Heights and even a few other places out there, Rancho, you never know what God's going to do. And here we are to be part of that. So I'm excited. We're rounding the corner and heading towards home in Jonah. 8 weeks in Jonah. This is week 7 out of 8. And so as we are 87.5% of the way there, when it came to who was going to do this message today on the city, I'm so glad I got to do this one. We moved here 5 years ago. We came from, we'd been in Fresno for a while. Before that, we were in Southern California. Before that, we were at Hume Lake for a long while. And 5 years in, I gotta tell you, I love this place. I love my commute in the morning, driving down Kenneth. Yeah, they cut down some oak trees. That's sad. But do you know why they cut down oak trees? Why? To build a new housing development. Oh, that's awful. No, guess what? There are people moving closer to our church. People that can be reached. People that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And maybe, just maybe, those are like houses that would hold a family. Maybe families. What? Maybe an opportunity for Sunrise to reach out to people that have never fill in the blank. I love being here. I love being here. And 5 years into it, man, I'm in. This is fun. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. If God takes me somewhere else, that's great. But man, I love this. Jonah was not necessarily in. So let's pick up where we left off last week. Jonah chapter 4. And as Michael took us through the first three verses here, we're going to go back to that and just read it a little bit. And I'm going to insert some tone that I think was probably there. Maybe not. We'll see. Jonah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." God, why did you spare these people? I can't believe what you did. I knew it. Now, Lord, just take my life. Take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. What? God just saved a city from sure destruction? And Jonah's like, I just want to die. Can't believe you did this. I can believe, and I'm even more angry at that. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, "Is it right, Jonah? Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out, and he sat down at a place east of the city. Oh, goodness. Wow. I worked in my yard all day yesterday. That was a little bit of a feat right there. So he sits down at a place east of the city, and there he makes himself a shelter, okay? There he made himself a shelter. And he sat in its shade, and he waited to see what would happen to the city. So picture this. He kind of goes out at a distance, and he's looking, and he's like, all right, let's see. Maybe he'll pull the Sodom and Gomorrah thing again. That would be awesome. It's kind of what Jonah's thinking. And then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah and give shade for his head. Maybe he had a bald spot. Who knows? To ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. Which chewed the plant up and so that it withered, And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. He said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Oh, God, I can't believe you. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hands from their left, and also many animals? And so Jonah ends with that. It was several years ago, 1987, and I was shipped off to Urbana, Illinois for 3 days to go to a national missions conference for college-age students called Urbana. And it was in that that 3 days at Champaign-Urbana at the University of Illinois where they had this conference that I got to sit there and listen to world-famous speakers come together, Tony Campolo and George Verwer and so many others, and they would speak out of the book of Jonah for the next 3 days. And the theme of the conference was, should I not be concerned? And it was this idea of, when you're looking at world missions, should I not have a heart for reaching the world out there? And as a college student, I'm like, yes, that's right. I should have a heart for reaching the city. I should have a heart for reaching the world. And I remember going home and I'm like, Mom, I'm leaving. I'm going to go smuggle Bibles to Russia. She's like, what did you do at this conference? But a concern started to build up in me at that time. And this verse, Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, these words that would come out of that, should I not have concern, would echo in my heart for 20-some years. And today, the simple question for you, Sunrise Community Church, is should we not have concern for this city? Should we not have concern for this community, for this place where we live? It reminded me, actually, of almost a contrasting story in the New Testament. So you have Jonah here in the Old Testament that goes outside of Nineveh, and he kind of sits in shelter in this place waiting to see God's condemnation come over Nineveh. Not unlike Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you have the story of Jesus that you can be found in Luke chapter 19. And to me, it's a very contrasting story. In the first story, Jonah leaves the city. He leaves Nineveh after he's seen all of the what's happened there with people being converted. I mean, people following God and waiting to see what will happen to them. Jesus is approaching the city in Luke 19, and he comes to the Mount of Olives. And it's a spot across the Kidron Valley from the city of Jerusalem. Okay, and it's not a long journey from where Jesus is here at the Mount of Olives. If you go drop down into the bottom of the Kidron Valley and come up, you'll be in the city of Jerusalem at the city gates in a matter of 20 minutes. I mean, it's a short hike that way, maybe a little more than that, but. As Jesus was looking in Luke 19 out to Jerusalem, it says, as he approached Jerusalem, verse 41, and saw the city, he wept over it. We have one guy that's ready to see a city get condemned and destroyed, and another guy, Jesus, weeping because he sees the pain and the hurt in this city. And in the case of Jesus, at this point, when he sees that the city is not receiving him, he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They'll not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. God sent Jonah to the city. God sent Jesus to the city. Jesus wept over the city. And I wonder how many times do we have concern for our figurative city. You know, most of us live in the unincorporated Sacramento County area around here. We might call it a city. It's not really, but does our heart beat for the city? So several weeks ago, when I started looking at preparing for this message, my mind immediately went to one person. I thought, there's somebody that I've gotten to know in the last few years who truly has a heart and a compassion and a vision for our area. And so we're going to do a little welcome to the living room interview here, where you get to sit out and watch a little living room conversation here. I'd like you to meet my friend Brad Squires here. So Brad's going to come on up and join me. And Brad is no stranger to Sunrise Community Church. We're not exactly centered here. I'm moving you up. There
we go. Feng shui's off.
Yeah, right? There we go. Brad's no stranger to Sunrise, and we're going to get to know Brad a little bit here. If you remember from last year, we jumped in with the big day of service. And this is, hey, look, we got a slide up here. No. These are some of the things that Brad's a part of. He found the Big Day of Service, Fair Oaks Orangevale Food Bank, currently president of the Orangevale Chamber of Commerce. How awesome is that? And then he's got this fun little project going on, the Heirloom Makers Farm, which he might tell us a little more about. But Brad, tell us a little bit more about who you are, family, maybe how long you've been around here.
Yeah. Kind of thing. No, thanks for having me back. I always love coming out to Sunrise. This is on, right?
You're on.
Yeah, okay, good. Yep. So I grew up generally in the area. As you guys heard, Jason's my better looking younger brother. So we grew up in Woodland, he and I and my other brother. Been married for about 15 years, been in this area for about 15, 20 years. Have a 13-year-old son, 11-year-old daughter, and a ton of animals. We've kind of fully embraced the like Orangevale kind of rural farm lifestyle. So we got a llama, which is pretty cool, and we got baby goats right now.
Yeah, you're not the guy that
super
I saw
cute.
Like, pulling the llama cart down the road one day.
No, but that's on my bucket list.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a guy in our neighborhood that walks his llamas in the morning.
Well, come over. I'll give you a free llama ride.
Okay.
Yep. Come on over.
Maybe in a few weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Sorry.
We're in the living room, right?
We're hanging out. In the living room, exactly. Well, I've got to make this one really good because I blew last message in first service saying things I can't record. But so we got to get this one right. So you've got a huge role in our community. I really see you as one of the key people in our local community. What were you doing before you started getting your hands dirty in this community?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, God puts us in all different places around the world or locally. And so wherever you are, I think it's ministry, right? Like, that's the idea. So before I was very involved in Orangevale, I was running a software company for the last 15, 20 years. And so I did that. My scope was kind of more national or global. So just the relationships I had were not as much in person, not as much deeply rooted in one particular community. So just through a transition I went through just several years ago, that was part of the decision process, is to really dive deep and kind of feeling called to be kind of a local missionary. So, you know, I went through
So who's called to come to Orangevale?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I, you know, went through this kind of whole conversation with God about, you know, where do you have me, you know, in life, and where do you want my family to be? And there's a thought about, do we move to Africa and become like a missionary? Okay, that's like the big one, right? You know, like you really dive in deep. But it was pretty clear. God said, no, you're here. You're an Orangevale guy. So you just become a lifestyle missionary in Orangevale. And so that's kind of what I've felt called to be for the last, I don't know, I guess it's been about 10, 12 years that way.
So fascinating to me. I lots of places where I can go. Okay. So is there any particular intersection in town that you would consider the heart of Orangevale?
Nice. That's a good setup question there.
Yeah.
You got a slide coming? Greenback and Hazel. I think, you know, if you think about Orangevale,
this is my favorite.
That's one of the key corners.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah, interrupt me.
Yeah. We did a scavenger hunt one day and took a picture in front of downtown Orangevale.
It's a great little popsicle sign there on the left, huh?
And then of course this is Fair Oaks, right? This is what I love about our community. Like, where else do you have chickens and roosters going through the crosswalk? in the village. And then Citrus Heights, I don't know, they became a city in like 97 and decided to welcome people by telling them how they enforce their laws. How many of you seen those signs? You seen the signs, right? I'm like, oh, good, happy place. Let's slow down. Anyway, sorry, I'm distracted. But next slide here. Let's show the corner of Hazel and Greenback. Here it is. Restore the eyesore. Tell us a little bit about this. Anyone recognize this? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that as Christians, it's our job to kind of just be the light and be restorers. I think that's God's heart, is to restore communities and just bring kind of positive influence around wherever we are, whether you're, you know, leading a baseball team or you're a teacher in your class or your student or wherever you are. I think it's really our job to be restoring community. And so this is part of the recent thing we just did with the Orangeville Chamber of Commerce. So in October, I took over as the president of the Chamber of Commerce, probably for lack of better options, but, you know, they needed some leadership, so I stepped into that role. And part of that first step was, hey, let's get a great location. And as you guys know, this one had, you know, plywood on the walls, had graffiti, it just, the landscape was overgrown. And it's one of those corners, it's like the key corner in our town, and when people drive through, it's like, we want it to represent who we really are, you know, or at least who we want to be. And so that was part of this this journey, I guess, and yeah, getting this thing upgraded.
And so you figured out through probably not the internet, but like public records, who owned the building.
Yeah.
And approach this guy and say, hey, what's going on here? Can I do something? How'd that go?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of a stalker, you know, just kind of going, all right, you're the owner. For whatever reason, you're not taking care of this building, and we'll take care of it for you. And I've got all these people in the community that want to do free landscape for us, and they'll paint it, and they'll put in new windows, and got all these people that care about this thing, but just needed someone to come in and kind of lead through that. And so that was really the process. The guy obviously loves us, and we love him because he's got to give us a good deal, and it's a win-win. So
win-win.
And yeah.
If you think about it, be praying for their HVAC unit. Okay.
Yeah. Side note.
So fix it up, and you're just going, it kind of starts in this corner, and help me with, like, if I drive down Greenback, for instance, a lot of times I'll see, you know, you'll see homeless people along the way, you'll see just different things as I get towards what we call downtown Orangevale. Blight, you know, you see businesses that are shut down or just things that you go, this is a challenged area. Like, what do you see when you drive down there? What do you see when you're down there?
Yeah, I see that.
Area?
You know, I see that like we all do. But, you know, I've kind of just intentionally chosen, you know, it's like glass half full, half empty, right? You can see good anywhere. You can see good in Tijuana. You can see good anywhere. So you just choose to see what's good. And, you know, part of it, one of the things, you want to ask me
a
question?
Yeah, no, you just go for it.
Okay. So one of the things about Orangevale and Fair Oaks in particular is they're unincorporated towns. They're not cities. Like Citrus Heights is a city. And so therefore there's a little bit of leadership and budget and infrastructure that's in place. And, you know, Orangevale and Fair Oaks don't have that. And so that was where I think my role has been to kind of step in to provide a little bit of leadership to Orangevale and give it some structure, some strategy, some vision, try to align people so that we can accomplish something like this.
All right. Yeah. All right. So how, Brad, how did you personally develop a heart for this area? Where did it begin? What attitude? You know, what changed your heart in such a way that you're like, I really want to see this place develop and grow and turn into something more?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been a process. You know, it's been 10, 12 years ago, I think there was I went through a process of kind of thinking about what do I want to do with my life? Kind of what does God have for me? And praying through that. And God made it very clear, again, like I said, you are a missionary to Orangevale. And that's my scope. That's my kind of scene. And I've just kind of really pressed into that for the last many years. The food bank is another kind of good story as far as that whole process. So about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago even, I was kind of driving up and down Main Avenue. And at that point, the building where, how many of you guys have been to the food bank? You kind of know roughly where the Orangevale Fair Oaks food bank is. At that point, that building was a medicinal marijuana dispensary, kind of back before it was legal. So I don't even know what it is now, but anyway, that was there.
I thought it was a flower shop.
So we were driving by this building, and I just got a clear message. Like, God said, that building someday is going to be something positive for the community. And for a couple years there, we did food drives at the holidays, and we went out to Benning Street and a couple of the trailer communities and just provided a holiday meal. Well, in 2010, we all decided, hey, let's just do this now every week and really provide for that community a place where they can walk and pick up their groceries. So anyway, that building wasn't available, so we set up a lease on Greenback with a guy that owned a building there. And the next day, I'm driving back down Main, and that was for lease, that building that I've been kind of eyeballing. So I called the other guy and said, hey, I got to get out of this thing. And I told him the whole story, and he said, no problem. So, you know, that's how we kind of got into the building where we're located.
Oh, man. And if I understand correctly, you were a lot more operational early on, but then you just handed that off to other people and kind of moved to what could be next, whatever that might be. And we're going to talk about Big Day of Service here in a minute. You said to me when we sat down at our local Pete's Coffee the other day and talked about this, which, by the way, anytime I kind of go out in the community, a lot of times it's at Pete's or whatever, I see Brad. Like, I run into Brad, and he's meeting with people that are in the community, working up some plan, you know, that has to do with what's next. But you gave me this quote. You said, God created us to tend the garden. Tell me what that means to you.
Nice. Well, I'm a farmer, so that's part of what I do, right? Yeah, I think, you know, the idea is that God's put us all in different places. You know, in my case, I'm kind of focused on Orangeville, but again, you might be a teacher, it might be in your company, it might be wherever you are. I think it's our job as Christians to just really tend the garden, take care of that, make it better. You know, that's kind of been a mantra for me and with the chambers. It's like, let's make it better. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let's just improve it. And again, I think that aligns really well with God's heart. You know, yeah. God's heart is to see communities restored, to see unity built, and just to see people's lives transformed and changed in a good way.
Yeah. What if you can go back to, like, maybe just talking a little bit more about our community right here. I mean, here we are. Anyone know our address, our city name for our address? Right here? Fair Oaks. This is Fair Oaks. But we are this parking lot and property that is completely surrounded by Orangevale. Like, all of our neighbors are Orangevale, and then Fair Oaks is across the street. It's kind of an interesting little dynamic. But if you go down two blocks here at Citrus Heights, right down there, I can't help but think that maybe God's poised this church in a prime spot to reach three communities. What's your take on our community? What's your take on who we are? Positive, negative?
I'll focus on positive.
Perfect.
But yeah, but there's plenty. So the one thing that I know about, in particular Orangevale, is there's a lot of heart and a lot of passion. Mm-hmm. If any of you follow any of the online Facebook groups, you hear a lot of the passion. And so one of the things that actually kind of spurred on the...
All I try to do is to keep myself out. Like, I just pray that my car does not show up in a picture in that Facebook group.
That's great.
That's
yeah.
My goal.
Yep. I think, like, you know, it's that passion. So that was kind of one of the drivers for the Big Day of Service last year was, okay, we got all these people that really care about our community, but don't have an outlet to kind of express that in a positive way. So therefore it becomes sort of negative chatter. And so I think trying to create that and kind of change the conversation a bit so that it's really more about being productive, positive, and really restoring, redeeming the community rather than tearing it down and becoming worse. So I think heart and passion, I think that's true of, like, that's kind of why we've chosen to live in this area, is because we really enjoy what it has to offer. There's always goods and bads of everything, right? But part of it's looking at the positive and, you know, just keeping that passion pointing in the right direction.
Okay, so let's pretend for a moment that I live here in Fair Oaks, but boy, you know, I love being in my church because my church has people that are like me or similar, and it's safe, it's comfortable, it's kind of what I like, But deep down somewhere, I know I need to kind of reach out. I know I need to get outside of my comfort zone, or outside of we could call it the bubble of our church. When I went to Biola Christian College in Southern California, we used to call it the Biola bubble, because it was where, you know, it's just, we like to stay comfortable in there and be around people that are like-minded. But I know deep in my heart, you know, I went to a missions conference in 1987. They told me I need to reach out. I know deep in my heart I should be having a greater concern for my community. I should be having a greater concern for my neighborhood. Where do I start?
Yeah, I think it just starts as local, as small and local as possible. So whatever relationships you have, just, you know, start there. I think it's, again, if you're in a work setting, just be missional there. You know, be intentional there. Invest in people there. Pray for God's vision, God's wisdom, and how can you kind of expand His kingdom inside that area. So again, wherever we all are, God's put us in different places on purpose. You know, if we were all running Orangeville, that wouldn't be great, right? So, you know, everybody has their different scope, and God will use us in wherever we are, as long as we're obedient and willing to kind of take some steps. And, you know, it's messy.
Yeah, that's
I guess I won't, I would be the first to tell you that it's messy and hard, but worth it. You get plenty of chatter in the community, and sometimes it's challenging. And anytime you involve people in anything, it's messy. That's just the way it is.
Church is like that.
Is it? That's what I've heard. But again, it's worth it. And it's just about being obedient and God, being used by God in wherever He has you.
Awesome. All right. Tell us about Big Day of Service. That's why Big Day of Service? Why did you even come up with this dream? I remember it's probably a year and a half ago. We're sitting in our office right over there, and you're pitching a vision for this.
Yeah.
I
don't know how many of you guys participated in Big Day of Service last year. I think quite a few of you. Last year we came out and we said, hey, we're going to try to do like maybe 20 projects. We're going to get about 500 people out on one day. And it was our first time to try this thing. And we had 1,000 people show up on May 5th. We did about 30 projects all over Orangeville and Fair Oaks, worked in a bunch of schools. We went into some of the senior citizen communities, and we took the Girl Scouts in there, and they had their little vests on. They looked all cute, and they were singing songs and playing games, and they brought cookies, and I had a few. So the idea was we're loving on our community. It's one day where we just get out, whether you want to swing a shovel or swing shovels.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, swing an axe. Whatever you do, like hard work, or if you want to get in there and just encourage and love, that's the idea. So it's just a bunch of projects, multiple churches involved. We have 10 churches involved again this year, which is just meaningful. You know, we don't come out and say this is a church event, but I want the church to be the foundation for this event, because really it's about loving on our neighbors. We're called to love God and love others. And so this is a great example of doing that.
And there is in your... Yeah, you got it in your program there. Can't find it. What did I do with it? Anyway, we gave you today a little flyer there. Thank you very much, Sue. Appreciate that. Big Day of Service. So it's right there. It's in your. I forget what we call this thing. Bulletin. Church bulletin. How long have I gone to church? 49 years. Let's change the name of it. Let's call it a worship folder. How about that? You just call it something different every week.
You're going to get some emails about that.
I'll get anonymous comment cards. That's what I'll get. So we're coming up on the 11th, Saturday, May 11th. You go to bigdayofservice.com to sign up. And we'll have, Brad's provided us with some brochures that we're going to run off for next week. So we'll be able to have those out in the foyer every week leading up to Big Day of Service, so you can get a little more information. So I'm going to, let me put a little challenge out to Sunrise today. Are you ready? Oh, I love it. You said yes. First service didn't. They're like, no challenges here, please. Last year, when we kind of pitched Big Day of Service and we looked at it, it was, hey, you know, get your small group together, get your Sunday school class together, get your family together, and sign up for a project. And I know we had our church that sponsored a couple of projects, one of which was the Trajan one, and we kind of got our community rallied around a few projects. And did those together. But I'd like to put out a little bit of a different challenge this year for Big Day of Service. Maybe sign up for some projects without all of your buddies. Maybe it's just you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or you and your best friend, whatever it is, and jump on a project that just looks like a cool project, and do it so that, not in spite of the fact that, but so that you'll be able to link arms with people in our community. And maybe, actually I think this is my desire, our hope, is that you would be able to link arms with people that don't know Jesus and build relationship. I was talking about this with someone just a few weeks back, and they go, you know, so what's the in it for us with Big Day of Service? And I think the in it for Sunrise, what's in it for us, is it's a chance for us to get out of the comfort of this building and this parking lot and even our own small groups that we tend to form, and to really be in our community, getting to know people in our community. And maybe it's as simple as going out of your house and going next door and or talking to your neighbor while they're out working on their yard and saying, hey, I'm doing this Big Day of Service thing. Do you want to do it with me? Maybe it's that. Or maybe it's just showing up at a project. And there was a couple last year, husband and wife, and they just signed up for a project completely outside of Sunrise and got to know people in the community. Hmm. And I truly believe that that's where relationships are going to be built, that are going to foster communication and give you the privilege of sharing the gospel. Sometimes we like to talk at people and make it a one-way conversation and say, here's the gospel, now deal with it. Maybe, just maybe, in the missionary sense that we would have here as part of our community, we can come alongside and build a relationship and build the privilege of sharing the gospel with somebody as we have relationship with that. That's a heart that I have, and I know you share, Brad. So that's going to be a challenge this year as we approach Big Day of Service. Think about who not to do it with so that you can have the ability to do it with somebody else that may completely open up your worldwide. Anything else that you would challenge us with as a church, as Sunrise?
No, I think that's perfect. It's exactly what kind of the purpose of this event is, not so that we go and do a project together. It's really, we're doing something inherently good. You know, we're serving the community. That's common ground that we have with people that sort of maybe know Jesus and maybe others that don't, but it's a common link. Let's just use this as a way to connect with people, build those deep relationships, and meanwhile, we're beautifying our community, which is great. So,
oh, I love it. In developing a heart for our community, and actually, let me just stop here. Brad, thank you very much. And on behalf of Sunrise, thank you for just loving this community and showing us a greater vision for how we can reach into it. And I know once Orangevale incorporates, you're probably going to become the mayor. I would vote for you if I lived in the 95662.
All right. Thank you.
But anyway, grateful for you, Brad. Thank you. One of the things that Brad talked about in the last service that just really, it was one of these things that hit me, is it had to be sometimes our heart is having trouble catching up with our mind. And our mind says, I need to do this. And our heart goes, I don't really want to. I got something else to do. I need to spend time with these people, but my heart's like, do I really want to spend time with that person? They annoy me. Or that neighbor that's over there really bothers me. And God's going, yeah, exactly. That's why I want you to talk to that neighbor. Yeah, but they, you know, said words to the other neighbor about me. Yeah, I know. That's why I want you to get to know them and actually befriend them. And one of the things that Brad challenged me with is the first step is prayer. The very first step is prayer. Because there are so many times I know the right thing to do, and I don't do it. And so I want to pray that God will change my heart. That God will give me a heart for this city. That God will As I drive down Greenback and I turn right on Kenneth, and as I go down Kenneth and I see oak trees that got cut down, right? That I don't look at those oak trees and go, oh man, those stinking developers. Why'd that guy sell his property to them in the first place? This was a beautiful oak-laden street. And why don't I look at that development and say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want Sunrise to do? Could it be that new families are coming in and moving in that we can reach there? Maybe there are friendships to be developed there. I'm going to pray that God will, as we pray, that God will open our eyes to seeing His heart for the city, for the community, that He will take us up on a higher view. That's why a few weeks ago I took Carter and I went up to the roof up there and looked out in the windy day around this area and just like, God, would you give me a big picture for what you have for this community? And not just a big picture, but now, God, would you show me how I am to be a part of that? Oh, it's my kid's softball league. Oh, that's where I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to start building relationships there like Mark's been doing for years. Oh, it's the people that I'm going to see every week at the chemo clinic. And God's put me in those side by side with those people to get to know them and build relationship. It's the people that are hanging out behind Dairy Queen on what night? Thursdays. Farmers Market. And I'm in my community getting to know them. It's posts that I'm putting on Orangevale Happenings because I'm a really good Facebook person and I'm not like getting angry or anything, but I'm just interacting with people. And that's, you know, getting into my community. But God, would you give me a heart for our community? And may I start to have my eyes wide open to what you've put in front of me and to what you've put beside me so that I can be a light to a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And when you do that and you do that and you do that and you do that and you do that, guess who's doing it? The church is doing it. That's God's church being activated to be light in the midst of darkness. And that's us standing on a hill looking out over a city and say, God, don't condemn that city. Oh, Lord, would you save that city and use me to be part of that? So we're going to pray together for a moment. But I'm going to ask if this would be a little more personal as we pray. That as we take time to pray and as we spend some time in silence, that you would ask that exact question, God, what am I to do? What is the concern that I should have for this community? Let's pray together. Oh, Father. Father, show us your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior, in the power of the Holy Spirit, God, show us your heart. Show us your heart for our community. Show us your heart for our neighbors. And so, Sunrise, let's take time right now in the quietness of this room. By yourself, the Holy Spirit, our Lord, listen. Listen to what He has to say to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, have your way with us, O Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, God told me during that prayer that he has a heart for babies. He does. It's awesome. Oh, I pray that we just have that heart, his heart, that we'd know his will. And we'd let his spirit lead us every day. And not be content. Let us not be content to just stay as is, but to be his hands and his feet. And there we're going to be right there in the center of his will. You want to know where God wants you? Start praying and asking him to place you in those situations. He'll put you there. Sunrise, I love you. You're good people. And God's placed us here for such a time as this. If you felt God stir in this morning, tell somebody. Tell somebody around here. Don't leave this room without telling someone. Come, we have people are going to be up here to pray with. You can talk to them. Tell me. What's God stirring? And then maybe we can start holding each other accountable in that. And then let's just sit back and watch what he's going to do. Have a great week doing what God's calling you to do. In Fair Oaks, Orangeville, Citrus Heights, Roseville, Rancho, Folsom, beyond. See you later.